Good morning, everyone. It's Amy Applebaum, and it is that time of the month. I always say that every month. It's Entrepreneur of the Month, and I just said that right now, and I realized as I'm talking to women what that means. It's that time of the month, and that just made me laugh.
Me too.
I'm going to stop saying that. Anyway, it's Entrepreneur of the Month. I really believe, as you know, that it is critical to acknowledge female entrepreneurs that make a difference through their products and their services. And we also want to acknowledge female entrepreneurs that make a difference outside of their business in the community. And that's why I am so excited to honor Ms. Agatha Kalesa today, because she is a TFF, a totally fabulous female and an incredible entrepreneur. Let me just give you a little bit of background on Agatha before we bring her on. She's so special. Not only is she an incredible entrepreneur, she's become a really, really good friend. And I think what I love most about Agatha is her commitment to people. She's one of the most generous people I have ever met. She volunteers continuously in the community, whether it's with children or animals or homeless, the homeless. I mean, she's just always looking for ways to give back. And the other thing that I love about her, she's always self-aware. I mean, not daily, not like every second she's self-aware, but she looks to constantly evolve as a human being and develop herself, both in business and personally. And I just have so much respect for that, because I believe that being self-aware is the key to our success in any area of our life. So for those reasons, she has been selected as the Entrepreneur of the Month. Let me give you just a little bit of background. She is originally from Poland. Her parents moved the family to the USA when she was 3 years old, and she grew up in New Jersey. She received her BBA in accounting from James Madison University in Virginia. After college, she relocated to Los Angeles, and she worked in public accounting at Deloitte & Touche, which is obviously one of the big four firms. After a year in corporate America, she realized that she had the entrepreneurial itch. So she left Deloitte, and she started her own business called Agatha K. After, I guess it's been about 10 years of being in business, her company has grown to serve a strong client base coast to coast. Her clients have ranged from small catering startups to $5 billion hedge funds. So she has seen it all when it comes to how people handle their money. And in 2010, she added a personal finance division to her business and is now revealing all of her trade secrets to the world through her first online course called 6-Week Money Mojo. And she's going to tell us a little bit about that on the call today. She's also just finished her first book. It is a tell-all memoir called Sweaty Armpit Duct Tape Girl. And I cannot wait for her to share with you how that kind of was born. And this book, this memoir, documents her rise from a deeply insecure and miserable child into a self-loving and successful adult, or what I would like to call a TFF, totally fabulous female. When most people meet Agatha, they tell her that she's not the typical accountant, and I think that that's because she's not your typical kind of, as she likes to say it, bean counter. She does bring a huge amount of passion, expertise, and knowledge to her work. Her philosophy is that she wants you to have power over your money so that you have power over your life. And that's really her goal, is to make sure that our relationship with money is one that creates success for us. What I love about Agatha is her heart. It shows in everything that she does. So as I mentioned, she volunteers regularly with homeless and animals and kids, and giving back is such a big part of what she does. And I'm just so happy to have Agatha here as our Entrepreneur of the Month, because she exemplifies a TFF in every way. And today she's going to share her entrepreneurial journey with us. So, Agatha, are you there?
I'm here. Hi.
Hi. I'm so glad to have you here on the phone.
Well, thank you. I'm so grateful for that fabulous and flattering intro.
Oh, well, you know, you're welcome. I pride myself in introductions.
I will pay you for that later.
Oh, fantastic. $1,500. No, I'm kidding. I think it's absolutely critical that you're here, because there are so many women who are struggling in so many ways, and they want to know how the rest of us struggle. And so today, for me, is really about you just sharing as honestly as you can some of the journey. And I'm just going to ask you some questions, and we'll just talk about it.
Sounds great.
Okay, perfect. I think the best part is, I mean, I didn't give a real synopsis of your business, so maybe you could just tell us what you do specifically.
Absolutely. Yeah, I can. So I have a business called Agatha K, and we now have two divisions. We have a business finance division and a personal finance division. So pretty much for the past almost decade, I've only catered to businesses, businesses that are established and usually have been in business for 5 years or more and have about $1 million in gross profits. And what I do for them is I provide bookkeeping and part-time CFO or chief financial officer services. So basically, if they don't want someone on staff as a full-time employee running their accounting department, they outsource it to me and I run it for them. And now this year, I opened up the personal finance division by pretty much taking everything that I've learned about money in the almost 10 years I've been in business and just popping it into this online course that's accessible to anyone, because I just found that I had a lot of people coming to me that wanted help with their personal finance, but one-on-one, it wasn't affordable for them to hire me. So I thought, how can I bring them everything I know without them having to pay thousands of dollars to have this information? Mm. That's my business.
I love it. Now, I'm interested, and I know a lot of people are too, because there are so many people who've been laid off right now who are taking their expertise and turning it into a business. So I'm really interested in how you got started. You know, like, did you, when you here you must have left a great salary, I'm just going to make an assumption, from Deloitte & Touche to go on your own, and that can be really scary. Did you have money in the bank? Did you bootstrap this and just start with sales right away? Like, how did you get started?
I did not have any money. I actually had debt at the time, and I knew I wanted to leave because although it's a great company, it just wasn't for me. So I wasn't willing to kind of like hate life every day and, you know, sell my soul to make money, but I knew I still had all these bills to pay. So what I decided to do was just bootstrap it. I started while I was still there applying to lots of positions that I actually found online on Craigslist. And from there, I booked my first client, and I was charging them like peanuts per hour, but I didn't really know what I was doing, so that's all I was worth at the time. And then I started with them.
How much was that, Agatha? How much were you charging them initially?
I was charging $15 an hour.
15? 1-5?
15. Yes, 1-5.
Okay. But that's what felt like right for you because you were just getting started.
Yeah, and I had come from the corporate accounting world, which is very different from doing day-to-day operational accounting for people. I didn't even know what, like, you know, doing operations for a small business on a regular basis accounting-wise was or meant or what it entailed. So I had to learn on the job. I was so scared because I thought, oh, my God, am I just going to be broke and have to move back home to New Jersey in 3 months? Because it was a very scary time in my life. But I decided instead to just focus on learning everything I could and doing an excellent job. I wanted them to fall in love with me. So then I could potentially have them as a future referral to other clients, and that's exactly what happened. So they referred me to another client, and then I got another client off Craigslist, and they referred me to another client. And then, I don't know, a year later I had a business. It was crazy.
A year later, were you still charging $15 an hour?
I wasn't. A year later, I was charging $40 an hour.
Ooh, okay, so you gave yourself a raise. I love this story because this is exactly how it starts, and I think that you're giving some really good advice while you might not know that you are, which is to go out there, start building up that credibility. So whether you have to do the first few clients pro bono or something really amazing like $15 an hour, what I love about kind of your mindset around it was you wanted to get your feet wet and prove yourself. And that gave you the skill set and everything that you needed to start to grow, as well as building that credibility. And then, boom, the referrals start coming in. You know, I just see so many people who are so afraid of that. And you know, when I first started my business, not to go back too far here, but I did my first three clients pro bono, but that's where I got my best success stories. So you're really painting that picture right now. It's okay to do that.
Yes, and I think especially in this economy, a lot of employers almost expect it, that they want you. They're not as willing to take a chance on you with their money. They would rather have you prove yourself first, and then they'll pay you. And it's the way I've seen so many people get great jobs and great opportunities in their business, because they're willing to just be confident and say, I know what I'm doing, you know, so I'm going to prove it to you, and then if you like me, we can go from there.
I love it. And, you know, as a matter of fact, and I know you're going to talk a little bit about this, but I'll go ahead and project a little. For those of you who don't know, Agatha, it has just, well, I just went through one of them. Well, two. No, we talked about the Sweaty Armpit Duct Tape Girl product, as well as the 6-Week Money Mojo. So here's two products that she's going to start getting out into the world and promoting to community, a lot of community, people that she doesn't know yet. And so one of the things that I noticed on your website is that you are offering something for free first. Do you feel like that's kind of the same concept?
Absolutely. People have to know you first. They have to feel comfortable with you. And then once they do, then maybe they'll buy from you or not. But I would much rather give people an introduction to me first so they can decide whether or not they like me before they actually plunk down money for me.
Right, and it's proven that people, it's like building a relationship. And actually, we have a mutual friend, Eric, who explains this in cocktail parties, that you don't walk up to someone and go, hi, my name's Amy, and do you want to buy my $15,000 coaching program?
Exactly.
They would look at you like you're crazy.
Right.
You have to build a relationship. You have to see if there's synergy. You have to see if they're even on the market for what you're offering. And then maybe give them something for free, and then maybe give them something for $10, and then maybe give them something for $100 before they're going to maybe plunk down $15,000.
Right.
So,
and it's very much like dating. I mean, on the first date, you don't say, hey, do you want to get married? You say, hi, this is who I am, and show me who you are, and gradually you maybe build up to marriage.
Yeah.
But it's a slow progression of building a relationship of rapport and trust and comfort.
Okay, good. All right, bootstrapper. Bootstrapping is the way to go right now. It's very difficult to find funding because of what's going on in the economy. It's much more challenging. And so if you focus on sales, which is really the best organic way to build your business anyway, you have the most success. So I love that that's exactly what you did. So I'm interested in how has having your own business changed your life?
Wow.
Would you go back? Do you know what I mean? Would you go back?
Never. It's made me who I am today. Because when you have your own business, you have to constantly evolve. You're constantly being pushed outside your comfort zone. And if that's your main source of income, you have no choice but to move with it and be outside your comfort zone. And so it's forced me in so many ways to take a very close look at myself and who I am and figure out, okay, what are the things about me and the way I behave that don't really work for me? So it's just brought me on this path of kind of self-awareness, as you said before, that I never would have expected. It's been difficult. I won't say it's been, you know, a really easy road. It's been hard, but it's been so worth it. I mean, I'm so happy with my life today. And it all started because I went and started my own business.
Okay, so can you share some of the stuff that's been really hard? Like what, you know, whether it's what you hate the most about being an entrepreneur or what maybe some of your biggest challenges have been, you know, give us the secrets.
I would say my two biggest challenges are, first, it's a lonely road for me sometimes because, you know, I'm the one running the business. I don't have a business partner, so I often have to make sure I have someone else in my life that I can talk to about my daily struggles that I may encounter as an entrepreneur, because when I don't have maybe a mentor or a coach or someone that I can go to, I do feel just alone. I mean, I can literally sometimes, if I chose to, I can probably go a whole week without leaving the house because I have plenty of work to do that. But when I do that, I just get really lonely and sad. So I've had to find a way to kind of balance it and create my schedule so that I do have people time and work time. And that's been challenging for me. And even still to this day, I do get lonely sometimes. So when I feel that way, then I know, okay, well, maybe I need to go do something social tonight.
You know, I love that you're bringing this up because I think especially with the digital age, it's like it's so easy to get kind of trapped behind your computer, but we're all
totally,
you know, and I find, oh, and then like in your case, you've been building products for the last year. So that really, it's like being, you know, dig a little hole in the ground and hang out in it for a while, because it does take a certain amount of commitment. But I like to keep kind of reminding not only myself, but all entrepreneurs that your master schedule, you know, that schedule that is your life can be balanced, you know. And I'm curious as to what makes us feel like we can't leave or that we aren't building our community while we are producing a product. So tell me, I'm just interested in what comes up for you.
Wow. Well, when I built my product, I did become a total hermit. I mean, I literally locked myself in my office for about 9 months. And when I build another product, I will never do it that way again, because it's so important to have connection and interaction with people. And as an entrepreneur, you're the creator and controller of everything. Your schedule, the kind of work you take on, how much money you make, so on and so forth. So there's no reason for you to just completely cut yourself off from the world if that's not what makes you happy. So what I realized this year was, oh, I'm not going to manage things in a way that make me feel sad and lonely and unhappy, because I'm controlling all of this. So I can go, so what if my course takes me 12 months to develop instead of 9. If I'm feeling happier along the way, then I'll have a better quality of life. My product will probably be better because you'll feel that and hear that. So
and then
those
you
are my
get
thoughts
to,
on that.
You get to talk to community while you're building it too. I mean, but it's still interesting how we tend to do that. Why do you think we do that?
I don't know.
Why did you do that?
Because for me, building a product was a very creative process, and there was just some part of me that wanted to kind of hide and, I guess, be with my with this baby that I was creating, almost like an incubation period. So it just felt like the thing to do at the time.
Okay.
And I could have easily gone out and still been in the community, but then I also felt like, well, I don't want to talk about this product yet because it's not ready, so I don't even know what I would, I guess, talk about if I did go network in the community, which, I mean, is a bit silly. I could have just said, hey, I'm developing this product and started talking about it, you know, 8 months ago.
But it's funny because we come up with all these kind of rules, but I think you kind of nailed it earlier when you're not using your team or making sure that team is really built, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't have, it can be really lonely, and I think what I'm hearing you say is, and we talk about this in the Release Your Inner Millionaires Coaching Club team. It is like, who are your mentors? Who's your coach? Who are your accountability buddies? Who is your mastermind group? And how often are you seeing them, talking to them? Who are your cheerleaders? Do you have scheduled phone calls with them every week? For this exact reason, because it does, you know, I mean, we don't have someone who says, hey, you did a really good job today, Amy. Hey, Agatha, you did such a great job today. Hey, great call. You know what I mean? Because you're the boss.
Right.
So it makes it challenging. It does
it
make
does.
It challenging, yeah. What do you think being an entrepreneur is something that comes naturally to you, or is it something that you've learned? It seems like you're still learning as you go every day.
I am. I think some of it came naturally to me. My dad was an entrepreneur for 20 years. So I saw what that life was like, both the advantages and disadvantages of it. And I felt the advantages outweighed the disadvantages, so I naturally just tended to want to create my own thing and have my own schedule and be kind of like the master of my destiny, if you
right.
will. And then sales always came really easily to me because I don't focus on selling. I don't go into a meeting or to meet with people and go, I'm going to sell them my services. I just go and I talk about what I do. And sales usually naturally just come out of that. And that doesn't mean that I'm not intentional about what I talk about. I do want to talk about what I do and tell people, you know, everything I have to offer. But I don't, I don't do that thing you were talking about before where I go up to people and I say, hi, I have a course and I have services and perhaps you'd like to sign up. And
right.
I don't do that.
perhaps you'd like to sign up.
Yeah. So sales has always come easily to me. Now it's different because I'm stepping into a whole new way of doing business. I'm taking my business from a local service-based business out to the mass market. So I have to find new ways of creating relationships with people that some of which haven't even met me. So it's a challenge, but I like it. I think it's really interesting. So that came naturally. And then the part that I've struggled with is being able to delegate, because doing what I do, I'm a completely psychotic, anal perfectionist. So everything has to be a certain way. And I've had trouble in the past opening myself up to actually hiring people to help me with things because I feel like, oh, they're not going to do it the way it needs to be done. And I'm not talking, this is just about, you know, client work. I'm talking like I literally wouldn't even hire for a while an administrative assistant to help me answer all of my emails because I thought, well, they won't be able to answer emails the way I can. And, you know, that's ridiculous. And very a huge suck up of my time if there's just some emails that someone else can answer for me. So I've had to work with letting go a bit, learning how to delegate, also properly telling someone specifically exactly what I want them to do so they know what is expected of them. So that's been challenging for me.
Has that do you feel like you're getting better at that?
Absolutely. And it's so great to have help, to have someone, you know, just take things off your plate. I mean, I don't even know what I did before when I literally had no one helping me and I was doing everything.
So now you have an assistant who helps you.
Yes. Not full time yet, but still she helps, and it's so helpful to have her here and take some burden off of me.
And this whole kind of learning curve with working with the assistant, do you feel that even if you would have had an instruction book on what you're supposed to say to an assistant or how you're supposed to delegate, do you feel that would have helped, or do you feel that it's just like it's part of the process?
No, it's part of the process. I think it's a very personal decision that you come to about how you want to instruct other people. And for me, I had to just naturally figure out what the best way was for me. And also, I want to be kind to people who help me. So,
does that get in the way?
No. I think it's so important. I don't want someone working with me and hating it because I'm a raving, you know what. So to find a way to be firm but kind, that for me was a personal journey.
I can relate to that. You know, and articulate, right? Because it's so easy to, you know, you're so used to doing it on your own. You think everyone should just kind of understand what you mean.
Yes, yeah.
And they just don't, because most likely, in probably 99% of the cases, you haven't explained it in a way that they can understand, and they don't know what your preferences are. So once you find somebody that has the basic skills, don't you find, you know, like they're very efficient, they're hardworking, they get the job done. There's an investment in getting them to really understand the way that you like things, even if it means here's five sample emails of how I might respond to something like this, so that you actually have them and can use those in the future. Because whenever there's a breakdown, it seems, tell me if you relate to this, it's usually there's not a system in place.
Yes, I agree.
Assistant and CEO.
Yeah, or there is a system in place, but I have not conveyed that system adequately to, you know, the my helper.
Yeah.
Because I always tend to just figure things out. You know, I sit down in front of something and I can figure it out, and I will take whatever time it takes to figure it out. But not everyone comes at things from that perspective. You know, they need some help. So I have to always remember that. Like, oh, wow, just because this was easy for me to figure out doesn't mean it will be easy for someone else.
Interesting. Being an entrepreneur, it's so much fun. it sounds like you're saying it's really hard, but you wouldn't do it differently. I mean, like, there's still...
Well, no. Yeah, I have so much freedom in my life. I make choices that guide my life this way. If I just had a job and was just getting paid, I really wouldn't have much input or say into my schedule, probably the projects I worked on, who I worked with. I mean, I have my choice of clients. If I don't get along with someone, I can just say no. In a job, you can't do that. You have to deal with whoever's put in front of you. And I just didn't feel growth when I had a job. I just felt like, okay, I'm just another cog in the wheel, and I just have to sit here and work away, and that's it. I didn't really feel much opportunity for growth. So although it's challenging, I think challenges in our lives is what helps us be better as human beings. So I welcome the challenges.
Well, and on some sick and twisted level, you know, we all are constantly, we get upset and freaked out sometimes by challenges or breakdowns, but yet I find with every entrepreneur I coach, they're just constantly sticking new challenges in front of themselves. So you, for example, you built a business. You're successful. Your life could be easy right now. You can sit and help your 10, 20 individual clients make a great amount of money, have a nice, peaceful life, but no, you're going to scale to the masses. You know what
Correct.
I mean?
Correct.
Yes. So in a way, that makes you a lunatic.
Yeah, I completely agree, but it does become a compulsion. Oh, what else can I do? How else can I push myself? What will help people? How can I use what I know to help more people? And that's really why I decided to scale to the masses, because I know so many things about money that most people don't know. And I can only help a certain number of people if I'm just sitting here in my office in Los Angeles. But if I scale to the masses, then it kind of opens everything up to the world, and everyone can have access to this information that previously only a few people could get to. So why not?
That's true, because you have this incredible vision, and your vision is to help all of these people, and you can't do it if you're helping 15 or 20.
No. Nope.
I mean, it's just not going to happen. So I think, do you find that you kind of get back in touch with your vision when you feel you're losing your way or you're frustrated or you're thinking, I must be insane, what am I doing? Does that help you?
It does. I do this thing. It's so dorky, but it's on my free. I think it is on my free class. So I'm just going to share it with you because everyone knows now the dorky thing that I do. But I always think about why I'm doing this in the first place. And sometimes I'm sitting in front of my computer, or maybe I'm elsewhere. And some days you just don't feel like it. You know, you'd rather just sit on your couch and eat some ice cream. But sometimes you can't do that. You have to. You have to go and you have to work and you have to do it anyway. So when I feel my vision and purpose slipping away from me, I actually get up and I, you know that, if you've ever seen Flashdance, you know that dance she does?
Yes.
Okay, where she like jumps
God,
around in
that.
Place like crazy. That's what I call, that's like my financial freedom dance. Because what I want in my life is to have total financial freedom so I can really just focus on philanthropy. But I'm not going to get there if I don't, you know, put the time and work in now. So when I get a little maybe antsy or not so happy about working that day, I get up and I do my little freedom dance, and I totally bounce around my house like a dork. But I don't care, because then it gets my juices flowing, and then it makes me think about all the reasons why I'm doing this in the first place.
Yeah, you get, like, motivated. You're releasing
endorphins.
I like to dance to, you already know this about me, but Bust a Move, Young MC.
Yeah.
You know, damn it. It just gets me going. And then I'm in a good mood, and then I start thinking of everything that's great, and it's so easy to lose track. You know what I mean?
It is. When you're in, like, your day-to-day, and especially if you have things that every entrepreneur has that are more like just the day-to-day grind activities that you have to do, sometimes you can get really lost in that and just lose track of your big picture. So that's what I do. I do my
dorky. Well, I love it. That is an excellent exercise. We're going to have to tell everybody about that in Release Your Millionaires Coaching Club. Tell me what you call it again.
I call it the Freedom Dance.
I love it. We're going to call it Agatha Kay's Freedom Dance. Oh, my God, it's going to be great. Actually, we should do it at the upcoming TFF event.
Okay,
we'll
I'll do it.
Show everybody the Freedom Dance. We'll do it at the Fear event. Oh, I'm so excited. Okay, because there's going to be a lot of dance at that event. So you're going to be there. You're going to lead us in that. Sound good?
Okay, I'm in.
Okay, good. And this is important because I think you're really honing in on something that is so critical for us as entrepreneurs, and that's to stay in your vision. Because, you know, you have all these calls all day and you have all this, and we so get to the details and the minutiae of the work, and we forget when we're having a conversation with someone about them being an affiliate of ours or somebody we want to strategically partner with or somebody we want to sell our products and services to, it's not just about the information, it's about the vision. It's the vision. This is like, okay, 6-week Money Mojo or the Totally Fabulous Females event. What is it? Why should you be there? Why is it important? That's the stuff that matters. You have to connect with people. So when we're behind our desks, like you were talking about earlier, there's no connection happening. Now, is there a point where you have to be behind your desk to get the work done? Absolutely. And I like that you called it the incubation period because you have to have that. You have to go hide away and make the magic. But I love this, and it kind of – I'm just thinking what's popping up for me is fear, like how much fear once we've gone through that incubation period, you know, you created your 6-week Money Mojo product or you created your sweaty armpit duct tape girl, which I just can't wait for you to elaborate on, sweaty armpit duct tape curl book. Now the magic happens when you go out and share it. So do you have like fears around that?
I'm freaking out. I'm completely freaking out. this is like my baby. I mean, I put my guts into this thing for the past 9 months. And now I have to actually put the baby out into the world, and I'm really scared about that. Up until this point, I've had a local service business, and so my concentration has been pretty small. And now I'm just opening everything up to the world, so I'm really excited. But of course it's scary. It's fear of the unknown and, you know, a little bit of, God, will people like me? Will people like what I did? That's this thing that I put everything into. What if people hate it?
Right.
So
how are you getting through that?
I am doing my freedom dance.
Freedom dance?
I do. I keep my vision in my mind all the time. And that puts me in a state of, takes me out of the fear, and just puts me in a state of feeling serene and confident and just feeling like, look, this, what you've created is fantastic. You love it. So just go out into the world and tell people about it. And don't worry so much about the outcome and will people like it and oh, my God. Just start talking about it. And, I really put my heart into it. And I think when you really put your heart into something, it shows and people respond. So that's all I have to worry about is conveying how much heart and soul that I put into this product.
Yeah, don't you find that the fear is, it's always there, and that there's this interesting goal that people have to try to overcome the fear instead of just being one with it and letting it be there and then doing things despite that?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I do that all the time.
And there's a big difference. Like there's Sweaty Armpit Duct Tape Girl, which is this memoir of you kind of transforming from this, you know,
self-loathing, hateful,
yes,
miserable person.
Yes, to somebody who's confident and fabulous. And I think that when you're that honest and you're that vulnerable, you cannot that is different than your 6-week Money Mojo. And I say that only because this is like your story. And it's not about not liking it. You're actually sharing intimate details of your journey. And anytime you are that real, people will be engaged. That's what's important about that book. 6-week Money Mojo becomes more of a product that serves a community. And that requires a little bit more business skill, meaning, okay, do people resonate with the title? Do they resonate with the information? Does my target market want what I'm offering? It just requires kind of a different skill set. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
In terms of your approach in business. And so I think there's different levels, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, of fear that come up. With Sweaty Armpit Duct Tape Girl, you're like sharing something that is like deep.
Well, that is like a whole nother level of fear for me that I haven't right now I'm in complete fear about 6-week Money Mojo because it just launched. Now, the Sweaty Armpit Girl book, that won't be out until early next year. So I still have some time before that fear totally hits me in the face.
Well, I'm glad I could go ahead and plant that for you.
Yeah, well, thank you. But I do. My entire life, my biggest problem was that I was petrified of showing people who I really was and being transparent because I was so scared that people wouldn't like me, that I had to be something, I don't know, this thing or this image, and that's how people would like me. So for me to actually put down in a book the details of my life that are many of which so intimate that, you know, my mother or my best friend doesn't even know. Completely, I mean, it like freaks me out beyond, like it's off the scale, but I feel like it's such an important step for me to just fully step into who I am as a person and my power as a woman to just say, this is me, and I don't really care what you think.
So, but do you not care? Like, meaning, are you okay with that some people will gravitate maybe towards that and some people won't, or have you kind of reconciled that this is who you are, I'm okay with it, and I'm just okay with putting it out there?
Yes, I am. And I remember something you said to me a while ago is that not everyone's going to like you. Some people will be your people, and some people just won't, and there's nothing you can do about that. And the worst thing you can do is try to change yourself to be in with the people that, you know, will never like you. So I have reconciled that in my mind, that, again, if I put my heart into something, some people might love it, some people might not, and it's okay because I'm happy with it. I'm so happy with the book. I mean, I read it and I'm like just sitting there with a huge smile on my face because I really applaud myself for having the guts to put all that down on paper.
I'm so excited to read it. I am very excited to read it. Can I get a pre-autographed copy?
You will, and I'll even I'll forego any fees as well. So I'll give you a free pre-autographed copy just for you.
I'm so excited, and I can't wait to share it with my community because it really is something. It is so important, and every one of us has our own sweaty armpit duct tape girl living inside. So, I mean, just wait till you guys hear about this book. It's okay. Let me just let me ask you. I mean, obviously that team is really important to you. So who do you admire? Who are your mentors? What helps you get through the everyday loneliness of being an entrepreneur?
Well, I have fantastic friends that I call on a regular basis if I'm having issues or I just need someone to talk to or I just maybe need someone to bounce something off of because a lot of my friends are really fantastic and successful and happy in their own right. So I feel very grateful for that. I can honestly say I've waited my entire life to have friends like this, and I look around sometimes, I can't even believe that they're finally here, but I'm very happy about that. I also have a 16-year-old sister, which everyone goes, what? I mean, I'm 31 and she's 16. It's a huge age gap, but she is so encouraging, and she's always telling me how proud she is of me and all the things I'm doing and that I'm her role model for that. Keeps me going and happy because I want to be a good role model for her. And
you are you're a good big sister.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
And I also really look up to Jack Canfield. I don't know him personally, but I just love his journey was a bit similar to mine in that he came from a household where money was always a problem and an issue, and his parents always struggled with money and really conditioned him to believe that you can really be successful and happy and have it all. And he had to work very hard to, I guess, reprogram his mind to not buy into that anymore and then become the success he is today. So I really admire everything he did. And he, to me, is like the ultimate bootstrapper. I mean, chicken soup for the soul. He couldn't even get anyone to look at it when he first brought it out into the world, and now I think it's sold like 164 million copies or something crazy like that. So I think about him when I'm feeling down and need some support. And I have to say, Amy, even though Amy and I, for those of you who didn't know, I'm an ex-client of Amy's. We worked together for a few years, but we ended that phase of our relationship a while ago. But now I do feel like any time I really need some extra support, you're always there for me. And I really appreciate that because I know, especially right now, you're busier than ever, but somehow you always will find time to answer questions or give me support. So I really appreciate that. I feel like I will have you in my life for the rest of my life.
Aww. Thanks, Agatha.
You're welcome.
It was, I would like to acknowledge you for a minute because we worked together for a long time, and I knew you when you were building your first business. Now you're on your second. Well, you're kind of on your second and your third because Sweaty Armpit Duct Tape Girl is kind of its own business. And I just want to acknowledge you because I've seen you, and this is why it was so important for me that you were selected as the Entrepreneur of the Month and that people know who you are and everything that you're up to. Because it took such incredible courage to really, A, build your business, your original individual practice, and really, like, build it so you were making a significant amount of money and feeling like you had freedom and balance and all of those things that making a significant amount of money brings you, to switch to going out into the world and talking to community and learning about networking and really sharing your vision with other people. I've just seen you grow so much. You're probably one of the most coachable people I have ever met. And there is nothing better in a coachy relationship than having someone who says, okay, I recognize this. I'm going to have challenges. I'm going to actually talk to you about the challenges, and I'm going to do what you ask me to do, which, of course, is directly in alignment with my goals. And I really believe that that type of coachability in all areas of your life, whether it's with me or anybody else, that openness to learn and evolve, to make mistakes, to try again, is why you're so successful. And why it is, there's no doubt in my mind that both of these new products, 6-Week Money Mojo and Sweaty Armpit Duct Tape Girl, will be huge successes for you going forward. I have absolutely 100% confidence in that.
Well, thank you, Amy.
Well, you're welcome. So with that, can you just tell us a little bit about this book? Because I know everybody's dying.
Of course. Okay. So when I was 13 years old, remember, I hated myself. I was really miserable. I always covered up who I really was. So at 13, I started to sweat a lot under my armpits. And I think it was just like adolescent hormone changes and stuff. But I would sweat so much that I would get those really big sweat pits on my shirts, which was horrifying in school. I mean, I was the girl who wanted to appear perfect and, like, you know, without no hair out of place. And here I was with these big sweat pits on my shirts, and it was mortifying for me. So I felt very ashamed about it. I somehow felt in my 13-year-old brain that I was the only person on earth that this had ever happened to, and how I'm so disgusting that my body's like this. And I, because of that, felt so fearful of telling anyone about it. Even my own mother, I couldn't even bear to tell her. So instead, I decided, because I had seen my father use duct tape for lots of different things around the house, I thought, I wonder if that can help me with my sweat pits. So I actually put duct tape.
That is very, very innovative, Agatha.
Indeed. I put duct tape on my armpits, and I wore it to school like that for about 6 months every single day until the sweat problem eventually cleared up. But as you can imagine, my armpits were always irritated because I'd have to rip the duct tape off at the end of every day. And then I was often late for gym class because I didn't want anyone I was changing with to see that I had the duct tape on my armpits, so I'd have to do all these, like, crazy maneuvers so people wouldn't see. And quite honestly, I did sweaty armpit duct tape girl things throughout my entire teenage years, my 20s. I didn't really stop doing them until about 2 years ago. So I spent a whole, lifetime thus far covering up the real me for fear that I just wouldn't be accepted. And that's what the book documents, the transformation that I had to go through to become who I am today and not be Sweaty Armpit Duct Tape Girl anymore.
Now, the Sweaty Armpit Duct Tape Girl, I mean, we know what it obviously, what she represents. Does she still live inside of you somewhere? Do you think we all have that?
Yeah, she definitely lives inside of me. And she comes up for me anytime I feel fear or have that feeling of, oh, my God, I'm putting 6-Week Money Mojo out into the world. What if no one likes it? But now I just, as you said before, I don't try to squash her and I'm not ruled by her. I just go, oh, okay, the fear is there. Sweaty girl's still there. But I don't have to listen to her anymore.
You don't put the duct tape on anymore.
I do not.
You know what I mean? But you know what I mean? Like, you don't cover her up.
I don't.
I love that.
I think that, for me, the thing that's brought me to the most happiness in my life is just acceptance of myself. You know, as they say, warts and all. And that's made me happier than anything that I've ever tried to do to make myself happy, to just fully embrace and accept myself. And it's helped other people just accept me, too, because what I realized along the way is no one is perfect. So if you're trying to be this, like, perfect thing, it's actually quite alienating for other people. But if you're just a real, regular person that embraces yourself, other people are feel so comfortable around you because then they can just be themselves. So, and I know that that's why I have such great people in my life now.
I want to just comment by saying, when you first told this story, so for everyone listening, she told this story at my first annual Totally Fabulous Females event. And when you first told this story, do you remember the response from the audience?
I do.
What can you tell us about it?
Well, it's what made me want to write the book because gets me emotional still today because I told that, you know, I really, when I told that story, I was so transparent about all of it, and I cried and I laughed and I just showed who I really was, and people just were so with me along for the ride. They cried and they were so touched, and so many people came up to me afterwards and said, "You're so brave for sharing all of that," because we all have that insecure, sweaty armpit duct tape girl somewhere inside of us. We've all had moments like that. So for you to stand up and just tell the truth and tell us about that was so inspiring. And that's when I thought, I have to tell this story to the world.
It was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. I was so moved, which is why I've invited you to come and tell the story again, because everybody needs to get this book, and everybody needs to hear this story because it is so relatable for so many of us. But I think the thing I really wanted to point out is that when you are being that vulnerable, and you mentioned it earlier, just being yourself is what people are attracted to. When you're fronting and, like, pretending to be perfect, and everybody knows you're not, they see it. They're annoyed by it.
Right.
It does put people off. When you got up in front of that room and said, like, this was what it was like, and here is my transformation, everyone felt like I relate to that girl, and I could have a piece of that transformation, and you just gave me a piece of that. And it was just one of the most beautiful moments. And I just feel like if we could shout that to entrepreneurs all over the world, the importance of being truthful and honest and not fronting and not pretending to be something that you're not, because I think that is what attracts people to you, you know?
I agree. If you come from that place, the sales will come. You don't have to push or force them. They will come. Your business will grow.
I agree. I love that. So what is the best piece of advice you've ever received, and what is the best piece of advice you can give to other entrepreneurs in any order that you'd like to?
Mm-hmm. Well, Miss Amy, I'm going to pick you for this one because you gave me a piece of advice a few years ago that really helped change my life. I'm sure you remember when we first started working together, I had $30,000 of debt, and I was making, I think, maybe $3,200 a month at the time, because although I had clients, I wasn't really working very hard to get more, and I wasn't really working very hard in general. And one of the things you said to me was, I told you I want to pay down my debt, and I want to do it fairly quickly because it's such a burden and stress on my life. And you said to me, okay, well, if you want to pay down your debt, then you're going to have to make sacrifices. You're maybe not going to be able to go out as much or spend as much money. You're probably going to have to work more, at least for a short period of time, so you can pay off that debt. And it sounds very logical, but to me that was like a whole new concept. Kind of like, oh, wow, if I want B, I have to give up A? Really? I mean, I was kind of raised with this perspective of you just kind of have it all and all at once, and you don't have to make tons of sacrifices along the way to get it. And you really made me see that the importance of trade-offs, that life is about trade-offs. For instance, I just launched 6-Week Money Mojo. Well, the work that took meant that for 9 months of my life, I had to be a lot less social so I could create it. That was a trade-off. So I now approach everything as a trade-off in my business and in my life. I look at what I want to do, and I say, okay, what's the trade-off for that? And is that something I'm willing to do and that will make me happy? And if the answer is no, I don't do it. And, God, it really helped me just achieve so many goals that I had set for myself before I met you and was never able to get to. But then when I really understood, okay, always remember your vision, and it's okay that you're making this trade-off right now because the reward at the end of it is going to be incredible. And that's exactly how it was. I mean, I paid off that $30,000 of debt in like 18 months, and my income after I think 4 or 5 months shot to like 10 grand a month. I mean, it was insane. I couldn't even believe it. And it was because I basically took everything that I learned from working with my clients and instituted it into my own life, and then you helped me with the discipline to actually stick to it. So it was incredible. It was so rewarding to kind of go, oh, wow, I did that. I kept my word to myself.
Wow. So, well, thank you for the acknowledgement. And, you know, you worked really, really hard at that time. Do you think, is that the advice that you would give to other entrepreneurs as well?
I would tell entrepreneurs that, yes, make sure that if you choose to be an entrepreneur, make sure you love it. Make sure you're willing to accept the trade-offs, because although it is so rewarding and there is so much freedom and creativity and joy in it, it's hard. It's not the easy road in life. So it often puts you in states of feeling very uncomfortable. So if you feel really uncomfortable with being uncomfortable all the time, then you're probably better off just getting a job and having a more, I guess, quote-unquote, safer life. So, yeah, trade-offs.
Okay, I like it. And I would like to add in there to that, especially given today's economy. I'm just going to add to what you said. I don't know if safer is the word, because, and I'm not challenging, I'm just thinking kind of outside of the box here. These days, jobs aren't necessarily safe, but what I really like that you're pointing out here is trade-offs. What are you most comfortable with? And that's exactly what you're pointing out here. Know what it means to be an entrepreneur. Know that you are going to be in unknown territory all the time, because you're growing your business all the time. So you don't know what's going to happen. You're going to have different challenges, and that's part of the process. And if you have a job, it might not be quite that challenging. It might not be that kind of scary or, as you're calling it, unsafe. A lot of people actually could think that not knowing what's going to happen is unsafe. And to that, I absolutely, totally agree with you. Know what you're getting into in terms of being an entrepreneur. Know what it means. If you haven't done it yet, interview people who have. Talk to them. What are, you know, just like you're hearing Agatha sharing ups and downs, and everybody has such a unique experience. Don't you feel like, Agatha, like every entrepreneur has a different experience?
Absolutely. Yes.
And it's just, you're going to have your own, but you have to know that you're going to have your own. There is no right way. You have to be okay. You have to reconcile that fear is part of the process, making mistakes, bumps in the road, it's just all part of it. We were just talking about this on our coaching club call last night, that like there is no such thing as being an entrepreneur without bumps. It is bumpy, and if you actually think it isn't, then like run the other way.
Yeah, I wake up every day, and sure, I might have a little schedule of what I'm doing that day, but I really don't know what's going to happen that day.
Exactly.
And I'm not saying that that doesn't happen in a job, but I think it's a less frequent occurrence.
So, I agree. You know what to expect more.
Right. So if you're the kind of person who, when you wake up in the morning, you would despise the idea of not knowing what happens that day, then this is probably not the road for you.
Run. Right.
Yes, because you have to love it to do it. It is a sick compulsion. You have to love it so much that you have no other choice, honestly.
I love it. I love your perspective. Okay, well, we obviously want to get in touch with you. I want to say to everybody, and I want to ask you, Agatha, your book's going to come out in 2011, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Or earlier part of the year, yes.
I think it would be a great idea to let people know how they can become part of that community now. Do you have a way for them to start to become part of the Sweaty Armpit Duct Tape Girl community?
I do. The Sweaty Armpit Duct Tape Girl website will be live in about a month or two, but for now I have a Facebook fan page for Sweaty Armpit Duct Tape Girl. And if you like that fan page, then I'm going to be releasing the entire first chapter on that page for free over the next few months before the book is released, so you can get a sneak peek at it. So if you just go to sweatyarmpitducttapegirl.com, you can find that fan page there.
Agatha, do you have an opt-in page for the Sweaty Armpit Duct Tape Girl community?
I don't have that yet. But so for now, I'm just tracking people on the Facebook fan page. If you go to my website, the www.agatha-k.com website, I have an opt-in there. And what I'll probably do is whoever opts in on my Agatha K website for my free money tips, you'll also be getting updates on Sweaty Armpit Duct Tape Girl.
Okay.
Just so I can keep track of those people.
Tell us the Facebook page again.
It's sweatyarmpitducttapegirl.com.
Okay. Sweaty Armpit Duct, D-U-C-T, Tape, T-A-P-E, girl.com. Sweatyarmpitducttapegirl.com. We have to shorten that.
Yes, we do. Yes.
I love that. So everybody get on that Facebook page because you're going to want to be part of this community. And then I'll keep everyone posted, Agatha. As soon as you tell me that you have the opt-in for the website, I will let everybody know so they can become part of that community.
Great.
You can probably also put up – I'm just going to throw out a little suggestion. You could create the mailing list now and put in just an opt-in box at the URL. So
it
would be like an opt-in page or squeeze page, and you could just say, to get information on the upcoming da-da-da-da-da, get on the list now. And you could just go ahead and start that, even though there's no website to go to.
That is a fabulous idea, Miss Amy.
I have
your entrepreneurial mind going.
Well, because it's Sweaty Armpit Duct Tape Girl. I'm sorry, but I am very passionate about this. Okay.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Now, tell us about 6-Week Money Mojo, because I know that you've just launched this online course, and I want people to know where they can get more information about it.
So 6-Week Money Mojo, it's an online home study course. It's all pre-recorded, and it's designed to be taken over 6 weeks and pretty much give people a complete full gamut of what you need to know to better manage your money from nuts to bolts. And then along with 6-Week Money Mojo, what we're offering is I have a few other experts that I brought in to help me with some of the topics. For instance, the budgeting portion. I know how to budget, but I'm not an expert in it, so I brought in a certified financial planner that is an expert on it. And I brought in 3 other experts as well to help me with other pieces of the course like debt and investing. So,
So
along with
6-Week Money Mojo has, in addition to, it's a 6-week course, you've got other mentors on there to help people know the content.
So it's designed so that you basically listen to one class per week, and then you have handouts and homework along with that class, because we all know that if you implement things into your life right away, they're more apt to stick. So you listen to the class, you do the homework, and then the next week you listen to the next class.
And when we buy the course, do we get it all up front, or do you release it 1 week at a time?
You get it all up front. I have a member login page, so when you buy the course, you create your own username and password, and that gives you access to all the recordings and handouts. But I do encourage people to really – there's a lot to learn. So you don't want to overload your brain and then just get discouraged. So it's best to just take it 1 week at a time. And then also, because I know this journey to financial empowerment is what I call it, it's hard to do it without some support. So along with 6-Week Money Mojo, the experts and I will be hosting live question and answer calls every 2 weeks for a half an hour, and you have access to those for a full year from the date of purchase. So you can call in or email in questions anytime if you feel confused or you just need some extra support, because I think that's really important when you're transforming the way you look at your money and your life. So
okay, perfect. Now just tell us they're going to go to get this product, and I can send a link out too, and I think we actually are scheduling that, aren't we?
We are.
Okay.
But the link is 6wkmoneymojo.com. So 6wk, abbreviation for week, moneymojo.com.
Okay, perfect. And for those of you who want to get a hold of Agatha on her main website, it's agatha-k.com, right?
Correct, yes.
And if you want to contact her at the office, you can do that at 424-248-0207.
Correct.
Fantastic. Well, any final thoughts? Anything you want to share with anyone?
Well, I just want to thank you for this fabulous interview and opportunity, and I really look forward to the next Totally Fabulous Females event, Miss Amy.
Yay, I'm so excited. We're going to have everybody, Agatha's going to be there speaking, so you'll get to hear Sweaty Armpit Duct Tape Girl in person, and I'm very excited about that. And I'm so grateful for you, Agatha. Thank you so much for sharing all of this incredible information. You've been really vulnerable and generous. Thank you. And I just want to let everybody know that we do this every month. If you believe that you or somebody that you know provides incredible value to their customers and or to their to the community around them and want to be considered as our Entrepreneur of the Month, go to amyapplebaum.com, and on the homepage, you'll see the Entrepreneur of the Month banner. Click on it and submit your application. We are very excited to be inspired by your story, as we have been by Agatha's today. Should you be selected, it's pretty awesome because you'll be featured in our newsletter that goes out to thousands and thousands of entrepreneurs, as well as on our website, amyapplebaum.com. So thank you, Agatha. I'll talk to you really, really soon.
All right.
And
thank you, Amy.
You're welcome. And to everybody else, have an incredible month, and I will talk to you next month. Bye.
Bye.